Hallelujah. Be opening your Bibles to Matthew 6. Started really last Sunday with an introduction and got into some little bit of meat Wednesday night. We're going to continue on today. Everywhere I go, all the people I meet, those that are born again, that love God, serving Jesus best they know how, I don't meet any people trying to find loopholes, trying to find some way to give less into the kingdom, trying to give less money. I don't find anybody like that. They must go to some other kind of church. They're not where I travel. I don't know. All of them that I meet, they're doing everything they can. They're studying. They're listening to the best teachers that they know how. They're doing the best they can, trying to live life, raise their kids decently and that type of thing, but they're trying to figure out ways to put more into the kingdom. They're interested in getting the gospel out to the nations. So when I asked that question last week, I said, how many of you, and I know you gave what all you thought you could into this offering, I understand that, I do too, but I know what my heart is, I want to give more. And I asked the question, I said, how many of you would like to be able to give, if you could, more into the gospel? Let me ask you again. How many of you would like to? Well, virtually all the hands go up. But yet, it seems like, and I'm really trying to be nice. We're all walking where we're walking. It's just no different than that. But I'll just use myself. Because I was so very interested. I mean, I have listened to everything. I use the phrase a lot. I've been down every rabbit trail there is out there when it comes to finances. I'm a very diligent type person. And anything that was taught, man, I did it. And I found out none of it worked. Except in the very, very beginning when I was an absolute baby. And, you know, not much is required of babies. Just the fact I was making an effort, God was able to extend His grace. But as you grow up, you're supposed to mature in your thinking and put away childish things. Now, there's no way I can review Sunday and Wednesday very much and get into what the Lord wants to do tonight. But very quickly, let me just say this. What we're really interested in when I say, how many of you would like to give more? Let me phrase it a little differently. At the end of your life, say the Lord tarry, and you know that your day has come before this day is out. Maybe you're 120 years old. We'll say that, you know. You made it to 120. And the Lord's giving you witness. You're going home that day and you're just kind of reviewing your life. Now, wouldn't it be nice to look back over your life and have this testimony? Well, one thing is for sure. I spent my life serving God and not money. Boy, you'd like to have that testimony, wouldn't you? Jesus was teaching on that very thing in Matthew 6. Now watch this. We'll just start down in verse. It all applies, but we just, for sake of time, we got to start somewhere. Start in verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's principle number one. He did not say it's hard. He did not say you could serve both with great difficulty. He did not say you could serve both if you're real careful. He says you can't serve them both. You can't. Now, when Jesus, who cannot lie, when He says you cannot, does that mean you cannot? All right. Now, the scary part is the next verse. Because He tells you plainly how to spend your life serving mammon. Therefore, you see the therefore? Based on what I just said, I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? When God called Sue and I full-time into the ministry, and we were basically cut off from all sources of income, both secular and what you'd call normal ministry income, I can't tell you the sleepless nights that I spent serving Mammon. I couldn't get the thoughts out of my mind. I thought my natural thinking was I had visions. I couldn't sleep because I'd think of my Sue and I living under a bridge wearing gunny sacks. I was consumed with what are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? What are we going to wear? I mean, I'm the husband, provider for my home. Thank God he's got some answers. We don't have, you may be that way. I was that way. I'm not that way anymore. I am the freest man I know when it comes to money. I really am. I'm at the point now, I describe it this way, and it's been several years. This did not happen overnight. That's not even part of my job description. I don't even think about it. He uses my arm, to write out the checks. But I myself quit paying the bills at our house a long time ago. He pays them. I just got to write out the checks, that's all. It's not even part of my... I'm not even supposed to take thought for those things. Boy, you know how free that makes you to be about your Father's business? When you don't have to give thought to those things? Yet most of you... See, so when you're very young in the Lord and very carnal... I wasn't going to say it quite that brutal. When you hear that concept, your first thing is, well, it would please God for me to quit working and live by faith. See? And the problem with that is this. And I don't know if I can approach that without just really... Well, no, because those people have a heart for God, usually. You know, they really do. They're trying. That Dave talks about when he was growing up in starting out in those ultra, ultra, ultra holiness churches. And y'all have heard those services where he talked about the women that wouldn't cut their hair, so they'd let it grow almost to the floor, and they'd get excited about God, and they'd do chicken walking, and, you know, and they wouldn't wear makeup because they did all that because they thought it pleased God. They'd been taught that, so they were doing that with a heart trying to please Him. You see what I'm saying? But come to find out later, it didn't please Him as much as they thought. Have you all noticed Elaine Holmer's changed a little bit? I remember Dave said the first time he ever saw her, she was in that holiness, you know, ultra, ultra, ultra holiness type thing. Said her hair was almost down to her, you know, her knees. Hadn't cut it in years. No makeup or anything. Bless God, she's been delivered. Hallelujah. You know, amen. Little powerhouse. I mean, just miracles happening all over the place. I don't think God's too upset with her. Hallelujah. So anyway, we'll just skip past that one for the moment. Just keep coming. You'll be okay. Taking thought, worrying about, spending your life consumed with, what am I going to eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? By definition, that is serving Mammon. That is serving Mammon. You'll spend your whole life just like the Gentiles too, from the birth to the grave, just like most American males, husbands anyway, fathers. Well, how am I going to educate my kids? What kind of house are we going to live in? What kind of car should we drive? Where are we going to get food? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Just like the Gentiles. And you'll be so consumed with that. Now, it doesn't mean you won't go to church once in a while. It doesn't mean you won't put in some offerings. But if you live your whole life that way, and you're 120 years old, you'll have to look back and say, I spent my life serving Mammon and not God. Jesus says you can't do both. You're doing one or the other. Well, that's scary. It was for me because I knew what my thought life was like. So you want to continue reading here. He says, don't be like that. Now this next principle is the one that really blows your hat in the creek. The very first principle. Okay, let me ask it to you this way. His disciples are listening to this. They're listening to him teach this. Now, right about at that point, wouldn't you make the decision on the inside? Well, Jesus, I mean, whether you said anything or not, I sure want to be one that winds up serving God with my life. Wouldn't your ears perk up to hear the next thing that he says? I mean, he told me not. He says, I can't, number one, I can't serve God in mammon. Spending my life worrying about and devoted to those things, that is serving mammon. Jesus, how do I not? Boy, wouldn't your ears be sticking out a yard wide? You know, you want to catch whatever he says next, right? Because now he's coming up with the how. And this is going to sound very different from what you've been hearing taught on prosperity. Here's the first principle, the foundation. You ready? Behold the fowls of the air, birds. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me think about this. Every prosperity set of tapes, except Dave's, that I've ever listened to, every seminar I've been to, every book I've read, everything I've listened to on Christian TV tells me over and over and over and over and over again, if you don't sow, you won't reap. And the very first foundation principle when it comes to not serving mammon, but rather serving God, he says, you better get a clue from the birds. They don't sow. And they don't reap. God feeds them anyway. You don't think you're worth more to him than birds? Sure quiet in this Pentecostal church now, I tell you. I know. You're going to have to look at the verse again. Look at it, what it says. He's trying to get us up to at least bird faith. At least have the faith of birds, people. We'll talk about serving sun faith later. Right now, I'm just trying to get you up to bird faith. He says, all right, now let me restate it for you. Let me lay it out again in a little more modern talk. He said, now, people, if you don't want to spend your life serving mammon, if you'd rather spend your life serving God, so that at the end of your life you can look back and you can say like Paul, I fought the good fight, I finished my course with joy and that kind of thing. I served God, but I didn't serve mammon. If you want to be that way, now listen to my foundation, my number one foundation principle. You ready? Now look at it with that thinking. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Boy, if that doesn't fly in the face of everything I've heard. If you don't sow, you're not going to reap. And they use all kinds of verses to back that up, you know. Of course, they lift them out of context. Such as Galatians there, where it says, God is not mocked, a man reaps what he sows. Or man, you know, what a man sows, that shall he also reap, I think is the way the King James puts it. Now, you go read that later. We don't have time right now. You back up one chapter and you read it to the end of that book. And if you can find anywhere in there where he is talking in any way about a church offering, I'll give you $100 myself. And I feel completely confident because I know he isn't talking about that. That is not the context. He is talking about, just like he was through the whole Galatian letter there, not going back under the law. He says, if you start giving your attention to the law that was only given for flesh creatures, not born again, you're going to reap from that. But if you'll give your attention to the Spirit, that new creature on the inside of you, by listening to the Holy Ghost, your teacher, you're going to reap from Him. It's your choice. He is not talking about your finances or your provision in any stretch of the imagination at all. Okay? Now, isn't that interesting? Because here we've been the sowing and reaping, and there is a validation for sowing and reaping. We're going to get into that as this goes along. But there's something wrong with it. Look at this, the way it's been taught to us. Every one of you in here, if I had you give an hour lecture, so you have 1 hour to teach the people prosperity, almost to a person, you'd get up and teach on sowing and reaping. Because that's what we've been taught. Over and over and over again, that the foundation for your prosperity is your sowing and reaping. But yet, look at it one more time. I can't help it. The foundation for God becoming your provider is understanding this. Behold the fowls of the air. Look at the birds. They don't sow and they don't reap, and God feeds them anyway. Why are you listening to people tell you He won't feed you unless you sow? You're dismissed? No. That right there was worth the price of admission if there was one. Well, then I got to, you know, sowing and reaping is all through the Bible. And when God was showing me this stuff, I'm going, what's going on here? I don't get this. And Wednesday night, and boy, I'm going to have to skip over this quick because we got something new to get into, next level. Wednesday night, we went to great detail. We brought up a table and sat right over here on the right side. I brought a hoe, just a, you know, like a garden hoe, and a floppy straw hat with sweat stains because I was trying to show the difference. See, religion keeps trying to paint pictures for you like you're still some kind of lost person with an Adamic nature in you, that you're somehow foreign to God and that you have to do all these things to please a wrathful God. Okay? And that is so far from the truth. That is not the gospel at all. You had a nature like that. Everybody did. He gave the law to a people like that to prove to all of mankind they couldn't keep it. There's something wrong at their core. He sent His Son to pay the price for all of that sins, but by the resurrection, then He made possible the new birth, where He can put a new spirit in you. You actually become God's child. You have a spirit in you from heaven, a spirit from the second man, the last Adam. You have been born again. Now, when I started meditating on that, praying in the Holy Ghost, meditating on that, He started, and He really did it out of Luke chapter 17, which we just don't have time to go there again. We have lots of tapes on that. He started showing me the difference between family, how a family business operates. My grandfather had 12 children, some boys, some girls, growing up on that. It's a ranch combination farm. He raised Black Angus cattle, and they also raised grain to feed the cattle. So we had all those operations going on. Well, listen, that's a family business. Everybody knew that when the harvest come in, it was grandpa's. So they'd go out and they'd work the fields or do whatever they had to do every day based on the assignment that he'd give them. And they're out sowing and reaping, all right, for him. And they understood that. None of them went out there plotting off their own little 7-acre tract saying, I'm only working this for me. I ain't working for grandpa. Not hardly. But they would go out there and they'd work all day in the fields to reap a harvest for the family business. And they could do it with absolutely no fear, no care of their own about their own needs being met. You know why? They're family. And it's about dusk, about 5, they're going to hear the dinner bell ring. And everybody comes in from their labors and they sit down around the family table. And all that good stuff starts being brought out. You know, mashed potatoes and gravy. Big bowls of fried chicken. Daddy, Grandpa raised the Black Angus cattle. You had steak with every meal. Hallelujah. You came there to get your needs met at the family dinner table. When you went out in the fields every day, you weren't sowing to reap you a harvest. You were sowing to reap grandfather a harvest. Can you understand that? Now Jesus is saying here, you're going to have at least bird faith, people. And understand that He's going to feed you independent of your sowing and reaping. Are you not worth much more than they? Sure is quiet. Why? This flies in the face of everything I've been taught. I don't even know how to function here. Good. You came to the right service. So, before we go on, at least, whether you agree with me or not, can you at least see the principle? Family dines at the family dinner table. You just get that because you're a kid. Because you're His child. You're His son. If you need something there, in that setting, you'd go past the mashed potatoes, please, and the mashed potatoes would come to you, wouldn't they? Pass the fried chicken, please, and that big old bowl of fried chicken. And Grandpa would think there's something wrong with you. You're sick if you didn't eat till you're full. Why aren't you eating? I'm just not worthy. What's wrong with you? I made you worthy when you were... I conceived you, boy. What do you mean you're not worthy? You're my son. Have y'all got that yet? What do you mean you're not worthy? That Christ, that Spirit that Christ put in you, just not good enough? I'm not worthy. His work wasn't good. The Spirit He sent you to make you God's child, He did all that Himself. You know, He paid the price for all that. You had nothing to do with it. And the one He gave you is defective? Makes you unworthy somehow? Yeah, but I haven't been doing what I should be doing. Neither do the birds. They never witness for Jesus. They don't pass out tracts. They don't send money to Dave in India. He feeds them anyway. He'll feed you too if you've got some faith for it. Then He'll get you up to lily faith. We don't have time to go there much, but lily faith is the next one. They're even less active than birds. I mean, birds, you know, at least they fly around and do stuff, you know. Lily just wave in the breeze. You know, how do you do it? I'm a lily. Wind's blowing out of there today. I'm a lily, you know. Wind's coming from there. Here I go. I'm a lily. That is the extent of their service. And God clothes them in more... God clothes them, He says, in raiment more glorious than Solomon's. Now Solomon, if we had time to get into that, if LaRue was here, he can tell you stuff about Solomon that'll literally just curl your toes. Solomon, he became such a steward of the wealth of this earth. He wasn't winning people to God. He was winning nations to God. The queen of Sheba, was that her, you know, right? She'd come and, you know, when these... Now, she brought something like a multi-million dollar offering. And when she comes, because Solomon was not... He was not a secret about this. He let everybody know who his God was. Jehovah, He is my God. Now, here comes a woman that's so rich... She's able to bring an offering of millions of dollars. So this woman is accustomed to wealth. Can you believe that? And when she comes, she says, and she saw the abundance that Jehovah had provided through Solomon. She says, I have no spirit left within me. I had heard, but the half has not been told. And don't you think she had a message for her nation? When she went back, these gods we've been serving, they ain't jack. I have been from Solomon's. He serves Jehovah, and I'm telling you, so are we. Now, Solomon was operating at that level of evangelism. He was shaking nations for Jehovah. Yet these lilies, ain't that pretty? All they do is wave in the breeze and be pretty. If it was based on works, wouldn't they be ugly little things compared to Solomon? But he says, no. God has arrayed these in more splendor than even Solomon. Now, how's that for a contrast in works? It's not based on works. Not even your sowing and reaping. It's all yours by inheritance. Oh, we're in for some exciting times, people. I'm telling you, the truth is starting to come out now in a new way. Now, the Lord told me when He started me down this path. He said, giving and receiving is a valid level of faith to operate in. It has sustained my church to this hour. And most people will never graduate from it. That's what he told me. He says, but in order to finance the massive revivals of the end times, there's going to have to be a great transfer of wealth. That transfer is accomplished by inheritance only. Son, you have to know better who you are and how to appropriate from your inheritance. Y'all got that? Let's go on a little further. That pretty well brings you up a lot of things left out from Wednesday night. But for what's important for right now is this principle. Number one, your provision at the dinner table is completely independent of your service, your stewardship in the field. Can you at least see, can you see that principle? You've got to have that now. Just like the lily is clothed, not based at all on the lily's performance for the gospel. Just like the birds are fed, they never put a nickel in the bucket yet for India. You got that? He feeds them anyway, does he not? All right? Now, keep that in mind. Your provision, say it after me. My provision is based on my sonship. Has nothing to do with my stewardship. How's that? You get that? Well, this was the breakthrough. That separation right there. It took a year. Me praying in other tongues, listening to everything Pastor Dave was teaching on the born again trail, listening to everything the Holy Ghost was teaching me. It took a year for me to get that one. I told y'all I wasn't quick. To get that one revelation where I could firmly in my mind see the distinction. My God, sowing and reaping isn't to produce my harvest. My harvest is already supplied based on the finished work of Jesus Christ when He made me a son. My problem is no one's taught me how to appropriate from it. We'll get into that another time. But for right now, there is a sowing and reaping, all right. But I've confused that all up with my own provision. We got it all mixed up, see? Sowing and reaping is sowing out here to reap a harvest for the Father. Souls, like we did this morning for India. That's what that's about. You with me? Now, if we can ever get to the place where we know how to appropriate from our inheritance, well, we just like my grandfather's sons, they went out in the field every day. They didn't worry a lick about what they was going to eat that night. They knew they was going to eat at granddaddy's table. Supper's at 5. Dinner bell's going to ring. They can give their full attention to their service today, knowing it had nothing to do with dinner tonight. Boy, if we can ever get like that. Think about this. Now, don't jump out and do stuff weird. This is going to take a while, okay? What if? See, most of you have thought this all along anyway. You've thought, boy, if I could just ever get to the place where I had my house paid off, my car paid off, my visa paid off, I had all my bills met. My kids were educated. Had some money set aside in the bank where I didn't have to worry about. If I could ever get like that, man, I could just go make money for God, or I could go serve God in my call, whatever it is. I could serve Him full time if I could ever get to the place where my needs are met. Y'all ever think like that? No, you're too holy, I know. Well, everybody thinks like that. And as long as you think like that, He'll have your nose to the grindstone till you die serving men. Because I'm telling you, that day will never come. Not till you learn it first in the Spirit in it, that is. Because if you want to know the truth, in the realm of the Spirit, you are already that way, and you have been that way for 2,000 years. Everyone say, just because I'm asking you, you don't have to agree with it, say, I'm debt free, and I didn't know it. You are, really? We'll show you later. Going over to Luke 19. Now we're going to look at something that I call stewarding the pound. It's real funny. The only thing I've ever heard, I'm going to read the whole thing here in a minute. We're just going to have time to touch on it today, basically. The only thing I've ever really heard taught out of this parable is the principle that if you don't use what the Lord's given you, then what you have will be taken away. And that is true. But I've never heard anyone yet teach any detail out of this parable when it comes to stewarding kingdom finances or having anything to do with that. You know, I know why now. You can't make it fit today's sowing and reaping message. As it's taught, it won't fit. Now, just in case you think the Lord isn't, most people that do teach out of this, they spiritualize it. Now, I guess we better read it first, so maybe many didn't know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 19, starting in verse 11. What did I say? 1 Corinthians? Luke 19. Luke. Yep, Luke. Chapter 19. Starting in verse 11, I'm sorry. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. By the way, don't ever say that to the Lord. Anyway. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came... Now, just stop right there for a minute. Does that sound like a gospel entrepreneur to you? The Lord entrusts you with a certain amount of money with the idea that through trading, investing, or whatever you do with that money, later on there'll be more and the Lord can come and receive it to use in the kingdom. Isn't that a gospel entrepreneur? Isn't that what we've been talking about? All right. Just with that in mind, let's keep going. Verse 16. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, how many of you ever heard any messages other than the part about being faithful to use what he gives you from that passage? I certainly never have. Now, most of the time when they do preach at it, they spiritualize it, taking the pound to mean something other than money. Well, what he's talking about there is faith. You know, he's put faith in your heart, and you know, by using it, you'll have more faith. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Trouble is, that's not what he's talking about. Now, you know what Dave teaches us about meditation and how important it is to leave everything in context? Look in your little Bibles. We're not going to read it right now, but just if you just back up with your finger to the beginning of that chapter, chapter 19, look at verse 1 and 2. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Do y'all remember him from Sunday school? Now, that incident with Zacchaeus is the thing that just happened, and the next words out of his mouth is teaching this parable on the talents. Now, let's review for Zacchaeus, since some of you may not have been in Sunday school for 25 years. Zacchaeus was a wealthy crook. He was a Jew who had become a publican and a tax collector. He was despised by the Jewish people. And he didn't care about the people at all. He had sold out to Rome, basically. And he had all kinds of authority, and he could overtax people, and by false accusation, he profited greatly. He was an absolute crook. But he heard about Jesus coming through town, and the Bible says he climbed a tree in order to see who Jesus was. And so he climbed the tree, and he was short of stature. You know, he couldn't see over the crowd, so he climbed up in this tree. But Jesus knew he was there. So when Jesus comes by, he says, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. You and I got to talk. Comes down out of the tree, and Jesus goes and spends some time in Zacchaeus' house. All right? We're not told the actual conversation, but we know what the subject was. Because now, Zacchaeus has been a crook. Let's put it this way. He's not been a good steward of the Lord's money. Could we say that? Now watch this. After that conversation with the Lord, see, let's start in verse 6. Zacchaeus, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, all the people, they all murmured, saying, well, that he was gone to be a guest, put quotes there, with a man that is a sinner. That guest, Jesus went into his house and they visited for a while. They're going, he's a guest in Zacchaeus' house and this guy's a crook. And Zacchaeus stood. Now, after the meeting's over, Zacchaeus has an announcement. Watch this. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Whatever Jesus said to him, it affected the way he thought about money. You know what I personally think? This is Gary Carpenter's opinion. I think Jesus preached the rich man and Lazarus to him. And the rich man in hell, in torment, he opened his eyes. Zacchaeus is going, I give it away. I give it away. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. You know, I repent, Jesus. I had no idea. You know, anyway, whatever Jesus said to him, you can see the end result. And Jesus was flat talking to him about his stewardship on this earth regarding money. You can tell by what he said. I change. What has been is not what shall be. I'm changing the way I'm doing this. See? And boy, Jesus is pleased with that. Verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in this case, it was Zacchaeus. Come to rescue that rich crook. Still coming to do that. Anyway. Now, going back to the... So the whole point of that is, the next thing Jesus teaches, the next words out of His mouth, is this parable on the 10 pounds. Is He talking about money? Didn't He just get through correcting Zacchaeus about money and his stewardship of it? Can you tell He hasn't changed the subject yet? So now He's going to teach us about stewardship. Now understand, get this thought straight. This lesson He's teaching us now has to do with the field side. Your stewardship of finances. He is not talking about the dinner table here. He's going to teach it. Notice, it starts off here in verse 12. Let's see. Verse 15. It come to pass that when He was... Occupy till I come. Okay, verse 12. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, and he called his 10 servants. Now he's talking about the servant side. That's what I was looking for. And he's going to leave them each. Got 10 of them. He's giving them each a pound. That's a measure of money. I'm leaving this with you. Steward it. Occupy with it till I come. I'll come back. We'll have a reckoning. Okay? We'll have an accounting of this, how you did. That's what's going... Can you see that, this all has to do with the steward side? We are not talking about the dinner table. Have you got that part? Now notice this. Say, we'll start seeing where we've been messing up on this. And I'm getting very warm. It's either the anointing or the heat. All right. Point number one, when He comes to do His reckoning. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when He was returned, having received the kingdom, then He commanded these servants to be called unto Him to whom He had given the money, that He might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, now watch this, thy, you ought to circle, underline, put quotes, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. First off, notice this. This guy understood the difference between provision and something he was to be steward over. He did not mingle the two things in his mind. He said, this is thy pound. Not my pound, not even mine and thine. This is thy pound, Lord. So first off, get that straight. He understood from the beginning that this he was steward over. It was not his. It was not his to even have the option of using on his own needs. There is a difference between the dinner table, which you are supposed to consume on your own needs, and your stewardship of the pound. Got that? Now, second point. Same verse. Verse 16 again. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Now, this guy has had a pound. He's been laboring by trading out here in the fields. Not only is the original pound still there, but the 9 that it gained are still there. All 10 pounds is now there, and he's going, Lord, this is all yours. In other words, I ain't been eaten out of it. Let's talk more modern vernacular. This is where we get all mixed up. This man understood, okay, the Lord gives him a pound. This is his assignment. Go into the field. Goes over here into the field. Now, by trading, get gain. Whatever it is this guy's supposed to be doing. He could be in this today, be stock markets, commodities. He may run a, open a business. God only knows what he has him doing. But this man understood the difference between stewardship and provision. It's obvious he hasn't been eating the pound. And it's obvious he hasn't been consuming the gain from the pound. That's all got to do with stewardship. But yet we've been taught, no, our sowing out here, that's what you're supposed to eat from. That's not a very faithful steward. Now we've been doing it ignorantly because it's what we've been taught. But if I entrusted a pound, I mean, if I made some kind of deal with Michael, and I said, look, I want to entrust this pound to you, and I won't pay you. I'm going to buy you a house, I'm going to set you up, give you a salary. You don't have to be concerned about that. I want you to invest my pound, my $1,000, and I'll come back in a year and we'll settle up. Now, I'm paying the guy on the one hand. I mean, he's able to eat, you know, his needs are met, and now he's going to invest my pound. And I come back and I found out, I get to, you know, he shows me his books, but I do one of those independent auditor things. And I come to find out that my pound gained 1,000 pounds, but there's only 700 pounds in the account. I want to know where the 300 went. And I notice Michael's getting a little pudgy. Where are you getting the money to buy all that extra food? Well, I kind of delved into your pounds. I kind of got that mixed up with my stuff. That's not wrong, is it? No, you're just going to prison. And plus, we're putting you out of your stewardship. I'm hiring somebody else. And that's why we have no gospel entrepreneur stewards. That right there is why we don't have them. He's looking for faithful stewards. We don't even have the concept of what a steward is. And the reason is we've not been taught how to receive from our inheritance. Since we don't know how to dine at the table, we don't know what else to do but eat from the gain. Eating from the gain makes you an unfaithful steward. You can't be trusted and you won't be promoted. Have we got stuff to learn or what? Have we got stuff to learn? You remember last week I told you, and I said, you're not going to like this? I said, now, eating at the dinner table is free by grace. You cannot add to it. You cannot take away from it. You didn't do the work to earn your right to eat there in the first place. Jesus did. That is free by grace. But I said, your promotion in stewardship is based 100% on your performance. And it got real quiet when I said that. Nobody liked it. Let's keep reading. No matter whether you like it. We just need to find out how it works and then flow with it. So this first guy, he gained 10 pounds. Verse 17, the Lord was real pleased with him. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now notice this. You've got to get this. The Lord, because he was faithful in the pound, let me say it this way, because he was faithful over money, what are cities made out of? People. Now God is promoting this man's stewardship to be over people. Hallelujah. Hold your place right there. This is too good. Just back up 2 chapters. Luke 3 chapters. Luke 16. At the end of the unjust steward. Verse 11. Luke 16, verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? Go back over to Luke 19. Same thing exactly. First, the Lord trusted this steward with money. And I know a lot of people in here are wanting to, you know, we have every kind of call in this room and that's hearing my voice by tape there is in the body of Christ. Every call is represented by the people listening to this tape. And all of you want to do it and get it, you know, get into it and really, you know, run your course with joy. Isn't that right? The principle I keep seeing, he's going to watch how you steward money first. If you don't know how, you know, he watched King David to see if he knew how to shepherd sheep before he promoted him to be shepherd of Israel. And if we don't know how to steward money, he's going to put you in authority over people. People are more difficult to handle than money. But can you see the principle though? First it's money, then it's authority over cities. Cities are made out of people. Let's keep going. And we're scratching the surface here. This is scary, this stuff we don't know, isn't it? Now what? Okay. Verse 18, let's pick it up with the second one. The second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Now stop right there for a minute. I said last week, when it comes to your provision that's free by grace, when it comes to your promotion, call it exaltation, call it the next level of your ministry, call it whatever you want to call it, stewardship, your assignment, whatever it is God's made you steward over, that is based 100% on how well you steward it now, on your performance. No, I think that part's by grace. No, it isn't either. The guy that gained 10, God put him over 10 cities. The guy that gained 5, God put him over 5 cities. We'll find out in a minute, the guy that didn't gain any, got no increase whatsoever. If anything, he was moved away from the lamb. It is, too, based on your performance. But I just thought I'd just come once or twice a week, you know, Brother Gary, and I could lay around and watch Christian TV all day and read these good books, and I'd become, God would just come promote me one day, wouldn't he? He's watching precisely if you're doing what he told you to do last. Whatever it is that he himself said do, he's watching you to see if you're doing it. And I don't care if it's vacuuming this floor, to spend an hour a day praying in tongues, whatever it is he said to you, he's watching to see if you're doing it. And if you ain't doing it, honey, there ain't no promotion coming. That is based on performance. Jesus Christ is not stupid. He doesn't promote lazy people. He does not promote ignorant people, and he for sure does not promote crooks. Now, the religion will put you on national TV. But Jesus won't. This goes right along with that missionary thing that Dave said on the 8:30 service right before he left about the guy that nobody could understand how come he got chopped up. It's part of how he got chopped up. What looks to be number one, what looks to be like, well, this guy's obviously doing everything right. You don't know how much of the world's ways he's mingled in there. You mingle that stuff in there, you're in trouble. Sure came in the back door on that one, didn't it? But it's the truth. It's the same thing. Now, real quick. Now, we're going to hopefully finish this one up next Sunday. There's just no way. It's just too much. Way too much. But if you can't come next Sunday, I know some people are here from out of town, whatever. If you can't come next Sunday, boy, I'd get the tape on that one. Because I don't think you're going to hear it. How many of y'all have heard this stuff? I've never heard any of this anywhere except praying in the Holy Ghost yet. You know? And there's way more than that. All right, real quick. See? Let's go on down and look at the one that didn't do anything. Verse 20. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then, gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they were astonished. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now quickly, because we're about out of time. For years I read that and read that and read that, and because of what was in my own heart, I assumed it was in the heart of this wicked servant. See, the real fear, when you get to, you know, really talking with people who want to become gospel entrepreneurs, the fear is that they're going to lose the money. They're going to lose the pound. Now, I couldn't understand Jesus in his parable. He gives us the example of the guy who gained 10 pounds. He gives us the example of the guy who gained 5 pounds. And he gives us the example of the guy who didn't do anything. But isn't it interesting? He doesn't give us an example of a man who tried and lost his pounds. We're not talking weight. That lost what the Lord had entrusted to him. Isn't that interesting? We're mainly going to get into that part next week. There's a reason why the Lord didn't do it. Okay? So, I got to going, well, what about this guy? You know, I always just thought that this guy didn't trade because he was afraid he'd lose the Lord's pound, because to be honest with you, that was always my biggest fear, that I'd lose it for him. I felt like, gee, I'm such a dodo. Be better off like this guy. Just keep it in a napkin until he comes back. At least I know I've got that. You see? That is not what kept this guy from trading. I want you to watch this. You got to stick real close to the word here now. Because the Lord judges this man out of his own mouth. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He reveals his heart right here. He says, verse 21. Verse 20. Now, first off, even this guy is above... His revelation is higher than most of us. Because in verse 20, notice, another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound. Even this guy had the revelation that that pound did not belong to him. At least he had that much sense. He wasn't eating out of the pound. That first thing, I thought that was interesting. Secondly, but now, why didn't he trade it? Now watch. Verse 21, for I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Austere man, notice. Especially notice these words. Thou takest up. Thou takest up. Put quote marks around that or something. Thou takest up. That thou laidest not down and reapest. Put quote marks around reapest. And reapest. What he's concerned about is the Lord's taking up and reaping. He's not at all concerned about him losing the Lord's money. He says, no, I know you. You're going to have me go out here and spend all my life serving you. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to study. I'm going to do the trading. I'm going to put in all that effort. And then you're just going to come and take it all. Fooey on you. I will not serve. This man considered his life his own. Most certainly not a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the epitome of serving mammon. He had no heart. He said, well, if there's no profit in it for me, I ain't doing it. Hold your place again. Go back. You're going to see how all this stuff starts meshing together. Go back to Luke 17 real quick, where Jesus was also teaching on finances. This is what he meant by the last verse, Luke, the conclusion of all of his teaching in Luke 15, Luke 16, and then all the way in Luke 17 down to verse 10. This is the concluding, his concluding advice. This is Luke 17, 10. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, he doesn't mean unprofitable, like not being benefit to the kingdom. Did he appreciate the guy that gained 10? Did he appreciate the guy that gained 5? What he's telling them there in Luke 17:10 is, when he says, say you're unprofitable servant, he means this: I'm not serving you, Lord, for profit. I'm not out trading the pound trying to get my own needs met. I'm trying to get your needs met. I get to eat at the dinner table at 5. I'm not concerned about that. But you see this wicked servant? If there's no profit for me, I ain't doing it. I'm a hireling, don't you know? I'm like those guys on Deep Space Nine. What are those little guys with big ears? Ferengi. They don't do anything except it's for profit. Neither did that wicked servant. And the Lord's having a hard time finding any stewards that are willing to do it either. Now, if I'm understanding this right, we haven't scratched, I can't improve on the way Michael put it one time. Of all the abundance, if our abundance, our inheritance represents the dinner table, and if we were to typify that by a big, tall glass of iced tea full of ice cubes, when it comes to how much the church knows about partaking of our abundance, we've hardly licked the top cube. That's about it. We don't know anything about partaking of our inheritance. Because of that, we're real susceptible to these sowing and reaping messages that tell us that when we sowed, the increase is ours. So we start partaking out of that increase, which automatically makes you dishonest steward and disqualifies you for promotion. There's not much more revelation knowledge coming your way about supernatural wealth transfer. Did y'all get anything out of that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're on our way, Michael. Brad, we're on our way. I'm telling you. Nick, glory to God. I am as plain and normal and, if anything, not quick as they come. I was telling them this morning at the early service, I said, I have one advantage over most of you. I know I'm not smart. I know it. Now, I'm not kidding. I'm not quick. I admire people that are. I admire Pastor Dave and Michael and Brad and those guys. I sit there and I watch them banter about and do all that snappy retort stuff, and I think of something good to say about 3 days later. Boy, I wish I'd have said that, you know. But see, it's an advantage if you know it, because I don't know anything else but to go listen to the teacher. I'm not smart enough to figure this stuff out. I have to go listen to him, and I know it. Thank God, though. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, the teacher that God has sent. If he'll show this old boy this stuff, I'm telling you, they hear me say on the tapes, if he'll use me, he'll use a tomato. They don't come any plainer than Gary Carpenter. I'm vanilla to the max, man. He'll teach his stuff. Now, I'm convinced if he'll show me that kind of stuff out of there, if Brad, Nick, and all these guys that anybody that has that kind of call, if he'll show that kind of revelation knowledge to a box of rocks that'll pray, you think he's not going to come if your call is to transfer billions and start showing you those mysteries too? My God, it's just a matter of getting in there with him. Just getting in there with him till it comes. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited. Have you ever, Michael? You've been around this stuff a lot longer than me. Me either. This is why I have those running fits. Glory to God. We're on our way, church. He's starting to open up things, concepts I have never heard of. What I want to hear more about, I want to hear about both parts. See, I said earlier, every one of you in here, if your house was paid off and your debts were paid off and your car was paid off and you had plenty of money in the bank and you had all of that, you'd go serve God full time, wouldn't you? You're already that way. Your needs have already been met. Christ met them all on the cross. He bore your poverty, 2 Corinthians 8:9. Why? So that you could be rich. You already are. We don't know how to go in there and partake of our inheritance. So we wind up out here serving mammon. That is going to change. That is going to change. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's enough for today. Glory to God. Hallelujah.